Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. Today, we continue our conversation on culture with the topic of decision-making. Our guest today is Magin Picard. Magin is the VP of Mentoring and Administration for the Andrews University Women's Clergy Network. She's a pastor, a soulful worship leader, and an expectant soon-to-be bride. We hope that you enjoy this podcast, and with nothing else to say, let us begin. Welcome back, everybody, to Disruptive Adventism. Today, we have a special guest, Magin Picard. Magin, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate the time that you have given to us. Before we start, give us a little biography, a short sketch of who you are, what are you doing, and what's the future looking like for you?
Awesome. Well, my name is Magin Picard, and I am originally from Haiti. I came here when I was 12 years old. I am currently pursuing my Master's of Divinity here at Andrews University. And I love to sing and do a lot of things that regular people love to do. And I love the Lord. I am also getting married in November, November 18th. That's the date.
There you go. Well, congratulations to you, Magin. I'm happy that you're here to discuss things with us. And we hope a lot of goodness and a lot of happiness in your future marriage.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with the topic today. We're going to talk about decision-making, right?
Yes.
As a preface to our conversation, it's important to make decisions. We make decisions all the time. But maybe we're going to talk a little bit deeper.
Yes.
We're going to get into how do we make decisions as Adventists? What is the importance of doing that? And how does that affect our culture, our values, and everything else? So let's start with maybe a quick question is, why is it important to be active in making decisions?
I will speak from experience as a Haitian American now that I am. I remember going to college, and finally, I was not under the leadership of my parents. In Haiti, we have this phrase that whenever you're under your parents' house, you follow their rules. And so it was great being in college for the first time and simply experiencing life. I found myself in a space where I am forced now to make decisions of my own, reflecting not just primarily on what I was handed down, but Magin, can you own up to your decisions? How do you make your decisions? Which sources do you use to make those decisions? And so that became a very important thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of young people, they go into college, and similarly to myself, having been probably in a very conservative home, they find themselves now having to make decisions on their own and own up to their own decisions. So we ask ourselves, what do I use? How do I make those decisions? Should I only follow what my parents tell me to do? Or is there somewhat, should I find the whys of my decision making? And so that becomes very important for young adults, especially young adults who are Adventist, leaving and now beginning a new life on their own that they can actually take ownership of.
When it comes to making decisions, as you have pointed, there is an ownership of the consequences as well of those decisions.
Certainly.
So when it comes to decision making, how is it important that we make the right choices instead of the choices that may bring us sorrow?
First, we can, with the question you've asked, maybe we should ask, how do I even know that the decisions that I'm making are right,
okay,
or are wrong? Because honestly, there are many people, they just don't know what right and wrong might mean other than the values that were raised to believe. So yes, we have the values that we were brought up with, the values that were passed down to us from our parents. And then there's also for us Adventists who hold the authority of Scripture, who can say that scripture is where I hope take my values. And then there are other people who simply say that I use other philosophical sources that actually help me to make decisions. So it all depends on the different sources that the individual uses, whatever is uplifting and inspiring to them that can actually make them to make those better choices in their lives. But it always comes with the knowledge. Where are you getting your knowledge? Are you open to receiving knowledge? I will never forget when I was in college, I met a young man who told me that there was no need for him to learn anything from anyone.
Wow.
And which was very surprising. And you know, I pitied his ignorance. But there are people out there who just don't know where to get their knowledge from, and they feel like they have to reinvent the wheel. And they really don't. If like the Proverbs tells us that, you know, let's look for the multitude of counseling. And so I definitely know that those are areas that people can start with as far as decision making.
So an area to start, just to summarize your thought, is to kind of understand where you're getting your knowledge, your base to make decisions. Okay.
Yes.
So that comes important, because that's how we are going to then start making decisions and start ascribing values to our point. Now, when it comes to the point of decision making as Adventists, how does an Adventist, it's not, of course, from your view, is supposed to make decisions? How are we supposed to operate, right? We gather knowledge from certain sources. What are those sources? And how do we go from there?
So we can either use scripture, we can either use the experiences of others, or we can use other manuscripts or in other sources.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to decision making, people often, whenever we're talking about the will of God more specifically,
mm-hmm.
People are usually not able to know what the will of God is. For some of us, the will of God is either God give me a sign of some sort that I may know this way to go, or that way to go, this decision to make. When in fact, what scripture teaches us is somewhat very different. It's this old Jewish concept of the law of God being his own will. And so we don't have to fetch very far, for the will of God, but that it is right there in his word. And some people, they look at only certain passages of scripture to be able to determine what they should do or should not do. But the true student of the Word of God will be able to look at anything from Genesis to the Apocalypse or Revelation to be able to make that decision, to really see what different scenarios that God, that is laid out, not even God, that is laid out in scripture for them to be able to say, okay, in this decision, I think that I can make, in this particular scenario, I can make this decision.
So what you're pointing towards, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but you're saying that as Christians, especially as Adventists, it's not about pinpointing the will of God from a specific verse, or it is more like understanding the whole magnitude of writings.
That is important.
Okay, so it's not just like I open my Bible and I ask a question, hey, Lord, who am I supposed to marry? And it's like, and the Bible verse all of a sudden is like, the one on the right is the right, you know, whatever the verse says. So you're saying that it's understanding all of the writings of scripture.
Yes.
in order to make an informed decision.
Yes.
Instead of pointing out, opening the closest text.
We used to do this thing when we used to say, God, whichever verse I fall on, I will know that this is your will.
Right.
And I've done this many times. I've opened the word and I would see something that's very inspiring to me. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
We can find a text that is very inspirational to us. But then what are other texts? What do other texts say in light of whatever situation I am in? But that is not the only way to use scripture in that sense. We can also, the other part of the argument is experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences are important, and I will say this story from my own family. My grandmother was illiterate, And she was always very spiritual. I would love to call her a woman of faith. When she came to the U.S., she was looking for a church to go to, and she came to a crossroad. And at that crossroad, she said, "Lord, I'm going in this direction, and whichever church I find is where I will go." Interestingly, she ends up turning over and going to the road that she desired to go, and there she found a Seventh-day Adventist church, the first church that she found, and which resulted in my grandmother becoming a Seventh-day Adventist. Someone would say, that is very much...
That's one of those stories that just happens. It's like a coincidence to a certain degree.
But then we also have to ask the question, was that coincidental?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a way that God actually showed up at that time. And so I have this principle in life,
okay,
that God is sovereign and he does what he wants. That is one of the principles that I have in life. I apply it to mainly to other people whenever I do not understand why they would do, why they would make a decision, or why some form of natural thing occurred. I would simply let it to that unknown, or that realm where that requires maybe some kind of faith.
Right. There is certain decision makings or certain things that happen in our lives that do not have a pinpointed explanation. It's not like, I analyzed the data. I thought that this was the best choice and I made it and it came out good. Sometimes it's just like there's this idea that something happens and you may not be able to explain that. It's kind of like a mystery, mm-hmm, per se.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to this topic that we're talking about, decision making, right? We said that and you said that you proposed that as Adventists, we're supposed to study all the scriptures, make an informed decision.
Informed decision. God has blessed us with his word. And it hurts me that we don't spend so much time in scripture anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But God does want us to have, to know his word, to be able to challenge it, mm-hmm, to be able to analyze it in our decision making. We should not just make decisions haphazardly to be able to say that because my parents did so, I will follow suit. Maybe in their time, it was probably appropriate or, mm-hmm, probably the only way that they could go. But God has certainly blessed us. And so even in that, when I'm comparing my grandmother's experience to mine, I cannot say that because my grandmother made this decision in this way, I should also make my own in the same manner. Thank God, God has blessed her to be able to send me to school, to be able to give me the knowledge that she never had as an illiterate person. But then that also made sense to me why my grandmother valued the Word of God.
Mm.
As an illiterate person, she never, never missed church. Whether it was raining, whether she was sick, she was at every prayer meeting, she was at every Sabbath morning, Sabbath afternoon event. She never missed opportunities where the Word of God was being preached or taught. And so for me, that became valuable to me, that I understand that we make decisions from what God has laid out in his word, in his law, in scripture. But there are also special cases where God himself can either speak to us or in some miraculous way, communicate to us in other means.
Now, are these cases the norm, or should we consider them as something that is more, it can happen. It's not like, because we see methods of communication in the Bible, right?
Yes.
You see God speaking to the prophets, okay? Like that was a very audible thing. But sometimes it's more subtle. And I guess for us, like, you know, we don't have that prophetic kind of happening anymore.
Yes.
Of course. So do we rely on those being the modus operandi, like, you know, the main way, or do we kind of rely on the informed decisions, educating ourselves with the scriptures? Which one should we seek first? Maybe that's a question there.
Whenever we are, there are multiple scenarios that I can lay out. For example, there are people who would say that, oh, God spoke to me and mm-hmm. I have this dream or I have a vision about something happening. And you're listening to that story and you're probably hesitant in your mind, you know, is that real? Is that a good interpretation of that dream? Did God really in fact speak to that person?
Right. Was it God through the dream or the nachos that they
exactly.
ate?
Exactly. You know, because science will tell you, oh, if you're thinking about something probably during the day, it's very much likely that it might also become a part of a dream. So it's pictures and images that, you know, may have been stored subconsciously that are now repeating themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there are all these different things. So when someone comes to me and says, okay, Magina, I had this dream, but like I said, a principle that I have, I say that God is sovereign. He does what he wants. Is simply listening to what that individual has to say. But I know for sure that God has his word there for mm-hmm. us to be able to use to make decisions. God can also reveal in dreams and in vision to individuals, you know, whatever it is that he may want them to do. Now, are these exceptions? I cannot say.
Okay.
And so there are moments, you know, there are circumstances that calls for that. It's a matter of discernment. Now, what I also know and I'm very confident about, and another principle that I have, is that the spirit always confirms.
Okay.
And that kind of confirmation, he will probably show it or reveal it to someone else if it is something that must be taken into consideration. That has been something that's been evident in my own life. I have to share another story. When I was meeting when I was meeting my fiance, he interestingly enough, a year before I met my fiance, my mother had a dream about him, his exact name written on the board. And my mother asked me, do you know this person? I said, no, I don't know him. And later, a year later, I also had a dream about the same young man who came to my door, knocked, and I opened for him. And so my mother mentioned it, in my decision making, when I'm evaluating, okay, should I go forth with this individual? So I said, you know, let me go ahead and go with it.
Okay.
Now, I do know for fact that this is the way that God would love for me to go. And someone may say, that's very true. Well, would you really allow a dream to determine your journey with this young man in your life? But that was the case for me. And I was able to indeed take that step with my now fiancé.
Now, that's a story that a lot of people will deem, as you say, kind of like fantastical. But to a certain degree, that was that the only part? Or were you also considering the things that you were learning from the Word of God? Because, I mean, you're saying that first you look at the Word, and then these kind of things can happen and do happen in many parts of the world. I don't have doubt of. But it's kind of like a compliment or... You know, should we seek for these experiences first, or should we seek for God's word first? Which one comes first in principle? Maybe that's not.
There's no exact order.
Okay.
There is no exact order in that. Like I said, God is sovereign. He works however he wills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me as an educated woman, it's... I've taken classes, you know, of course, this is my career. I work with people. I've taken marriage and family. I've taken multiple classes on psychology and counseling, etc. So I am very well educated as far as, you know, decision making on a more humanistic manner. However, my decision to wait on God to choose a spouse for me was also a personal one. I remember clearly saying to the Lord, this is what I would love for you to do for me. I will not think of it. I will not, you know, like it's written in Song of Songs, do not awaken love until love is awakened. So I'm not even going to go knock on love's door right now. I will leave it closed. But at the same time, I was very much surrounding myself with people who were loving and people who demonstrated great characters, people who I were modeling principles, biblical principles all around my life. So it wasn't that, it wasn't, you know, if we're looking, okay, should I put the word of God first and then the experience second? Should I put the experience first and then the word of God? Well, it depends on where you are with God at the moment. For me, it was a combination of the two. It was prayer. It was meditating on the word of God. It was, if I could say, matter of fact, let's say this, if I could put it this way, I think we would say they work together.
Okay.
They do not work separate of each other, and they do not precede each other. They work together. The individual who's seeking the will of God, or who is hoping to have some form of experience with God, cannot do it apart from his word.
Okay.
And so they work together, and you truly get that experience as you are encountering what scripture what scripture has to offer on whatever the decision that you have to make.
Okay. Well, thank you for that response. It's very succinct and also allows us to comprehend that they go together, they're joined, like, you know, faith and reading and education, it's important.
Yes,
as well as knowing that anything can happen and God can demonstrate that.
That's very true.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to this process of decision making, how is it different from, hey, I'm going to make the best decision, informing myself about the best education outside of the Bible or things like that? Is there an element that changes the whole equation as an Adventist when these things come together for you from a humanistic perspective, from like devoid of God? Does it make a difference whether you have God making, helping you make a good decision, or whether you only have yourself and, you know, your own thinking and making the same good decision? Is there a difference?
There's a book that I love in scripture. It's Ecclesiastes. And the closing chapter of Ecclesiastes says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. And then it goes to the very end to say that, but know that you will be judged. And so I know that as someone who makes scripture an authority in my life, or and also believes in the Creator God, my decisions are based on what scripture offers. That's me. Now, can someone purely from philosophy be able to make good decisions? I believe so. We have great thinkers and people who, and the greatest thinker is the person who's able to assemble material and knowledge from many different sources to be able to, you know, have a holistic view on whatever it is that they are looking to have more depth of knowledge about. So, yes, someone can remove God from the knowledge that they are receiving, but I am also a believer that who created us? We always go back to the creator, my creator, who has the knowledge and the wisdom, who's the giver of knowledge and also wisdom, is, from an Adventist point of view, is the best source for making decisions, decision making, the counselor, the mentor. He has actually that capacity to help us.
I will add to what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, is that it kind of adds an element of surety.
Yes.
You know, it kind of gives us this confidence in the decision making that we're doing, because if you read scripture and you have the word of God as your basis, it allows you to, hey, you know what? I'm doing something that's actually helpful for me, because the person that made me has revealed this to me. So I think that there's an element of difference, and that allows you to be more sure of your decision making when you're doing it that way.
Yes. And surety is important, especially when it comes to decision making. I've known so many people who make decisions today and change their minds tomorrow. We do that with a lot of things these days, especially in our era. People quickly jump on the next opportunity. People quickly jump on the next fashionable idea or the new trends. And so whenever I am making my decision, not only should I know who I am, not only should I know the sources that I'm utilizing to also complement who I am and give me more confidence in my decision-making process.
That sounds excellent. I think that you're summarizing that element of surety. And, you know, my personal perspective is also the same. I mean, I went through 9 majors in college until finding the one. I was just like, you know, going here and there, and you never actually make a decision because I was not as informed as I needed to be. I was just trying different things. And there are a lot of people that try that route and go into, hey, I'm going to engineering now and then business. And there's this failure, right, element that comes when it comes to decision making. Now, we're starting to kind of go into the last section of today's podcast, is what happens when we fail? I mean, failure is part of the process, right? And let's say that I made the decision and I was very informed when it comes to the word of God, and I prayed and I had, but then failure comes. How do I reconcile that? Didn't I make the right choice? Did I make the wrong choice? Even though I followed the process or kind of like understood as best as I could, what happens with failure? How do we explain that in the decision-making process?
Okay. Earlier, we're talking about ownership.
Yes.
And since we are talking about ownership, I have to take a business aspect of ownership. The best business owners know that with every decision, there is maybe a deficit. There might be risk-taking. The best investor knows that, of course, they're making a big risk, taking a big risk with whatever investment that they're making. It is similar to decision-making in real life. But we know that for sure, that whenever you are, let me go back. God has given us the ability to make choices, the ability to make decisions. He has actually given us that kinship or the power to make and rule and to subdue, whichever way people would like
have
to.
Dominion.
Have dominion. Yes. There you go. To have dominion. And so we must be okay with making decisions. Now, the world operates in many ways that are outside of our control. But it is good to know that you have that power. You are a king and you are a queen. And you do have that dominion over the things in your life that God himself has given to you. You don't have to go very far. He wants you to use the brain that he has given to you. But as far as failure is concerned, just go at it. Your decisions and your failures have nothing in common. You make your decision, and yes, things may fail, just like they may also succeed. But what do we do about it? We keep going and we keep pushing. And so make decisions that are pure. Make decisions that are morally sound. Make decisions that give glory to your Creator. And make decisions that also is for the benefit of others. And so whenever those are aligned, failure may come, people may bash on you for whatever reason, but when you know that your decisions are being made from the source of your values, the source which God himself has given to you, then whatever the outcome may be, which failure is and success is, it will not matter because the decision, the ground was laid properly. And so yes, you know, whatever mishap, I know in construction, you know, they have whenever the foundation is right, you can literally build up, even if there's like a slight mismeasurement in whatever the block size may be, you can just remove that block and just add another one. So this is the same way with our decision making. Having the right foundation is important. The failure is only something that can easily be fixed.
Well, thank you for that perspective. And, you know, kind of to add to the conversation is also this idea that you may be making the right choice, and but it's not only your choice.
Yes.
Sometimes it happens that you're making a choice that involves others, yes, and that they also have to make, quote unquote, the right, exactly, choice. And those interdynamics are very complicated, complex. We're all agents in this world, and yep, your decision and my decision may be opposite, and at the end we end up failing together, or, you know, whatever it is.
Or working perfectly together.
Or working perfectly, yes.
Because sometimes disunity or chaos happens before we can reorganize and realign ourselves.
Yeah. So awesome.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for your time, Jean, today.
Pleasure.
Before we go, I want to give you some final words when it comes to the topic of decision making. If you want to just give us one last word, go ahead.
Of course. As mentioned earlier, God has definitely given us the power and ability to make choices. Use his word. It's there to guide us. God is looking for young people who are filled, who have his word on their hearts and on their lips. These are the two places where the law of God actually reside. So make sure you read the word of God. It will help you with those decision-making processes, especially in this world that information is so readily available to us. But it's always good to know that you are grounded. You have surety and also the confidence to live and move forth and make decisions that will eventually, probably, and most likely change the world.
That was our conversation with Majin Picard, VP of Mentoring for Rutgers University Women's Clergy Network. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that you have taken the time to listen to our podcast and ask that you share it with others. Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying our content, we want to invite you to consider contributing to our cause by becoming a Patreon, where you will receive exclusive content, have the ability to sit down with the Disruptive Adventism team, and ask relevant questions for Adventism and society. If you're interested in contributing, head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Another avenue for contribution is to purchase our merchandise through Amazon or tpublic.com. You can find the links for merchandise on our Facebook or Instagram pages. We also hope that our content has intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.